Reading from Luke chapter 18, verse 16. Jesus called the children to him and said, "Let the little children come to me, and do not hinder them, for the kingdom of God belongs to such as these." Thanks for tuning in, everyone. This is the Monday edition of Mark and Friends, heard on all four of our frequencies, also streamed and archived at greatnewsradio.org, so there's many ways for you to tune in and be blessed. The reason for sharing that verse is that was a response from Jesus to his disciples talking about the importance of children, how much God loves them, and how important that childlike faith in understanding the truth and God's love is important for all of us, and that we should be advocates for children and intentional in sharing with them God's love. Well, I had the great opportunity last night at Awana to share during council time, and so I gave all the children a quiz, some of my story of coming to Christ at that age, and then I walked them all through John 3:16, I'm sure familiar to all of you, "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life." And I walked him through each of those words and what it means and how God desires all of us to enter into that relationship with him through the Lord Jesus. What a blessing. Well, another blessing is in the studio with me today is Dennis Daniel. He's the executive director of Jesus is the Way Prison Ministry, along with the chairman of the board of Jesus is the Way Prison Ministry, Bill Scott, who's been a longtime friend. Well, some weeks back, I had lunch with these two gentlemen. We talked about the ways God is at work at Jesus is the Way Prison Ministry. And with Dennis's new assignment, I said, let's have you in the studio and introduce you to our radio listening family. So by way of introduction, listen to these verses. And oh, by the way, it's Monday, it's September 24th, 2012. Reading from Matthew chapter 25, beginning at verse 34. "Then the king will say to those on his right, 'Come, you who are blessed by my Father, take your inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you invited me in. I needed clothes, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you looked after me. I was in prison, and you came to visit me.' Then the righteous will answer him, 'Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you something to drink? When did we see you a stranger, invite you in, or needing clothes and clothe you? When did we see you sick or in prison and go to visit you?' The king will reply, 'I tell you the truth, whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers of mine, you did for me.'" A very familiar passage to many. And Bill, I'm going to start with you. We have Bill Scott in the studio, who I mentioned is the chairman of the board of Jesus is the Way Prison Ministry. And I know, Bill, as I asked you and Dennis, what's a fundamental or foundational verse for Jesus is the Way Prison Ministry? You pointed out this Matthew 25 passage. Talk a little about it. And then I think over the course of today's program and maybe even tomorrow, I want to have a little inside view to how God has led you to be involved in Jesus is the Way Prison Ministry. And Dennis, you as executive director of Jesus the Way Prison Ministry, share how God has led you there and maybe also include some of your faith journey. But why Matthew 25, 34 through 37?
Well, first of all, Mark, we're so appreciative of the opportunity just to be here and share with you the vision for the ministry. Jesse Mathis birthed this ministry, and he used Matthew 25 because the Lord's heart is for those who can't help themselves. Mm-hmm. His heart is for those who are hungry, those who are thirsty, those who are in prison, those who need housing. And Jesse in particular had a heart for the men in prison. And so he began the ministry as an evangelistic ministry to the prisons, preaching in the prisons throughout the world. And the ministry is still doing that. But about 12 years ago, the ministry was blessed with a place for these men to take up residence after they left the ministry. And we're basically providing them with the tools and the means whereby they can start life afresh. We believe that Jesus died for us when we were helpless to help ourselves. We are trying to fulfill Jesus' call to help those who can't help themselves by providing them with a means to start life afresh. And we are so excited that Jesus has provided us with this opportunity in Rantoul.
Yeah, and I know that the furthering of the ministry, you start with them in prison, you disciple them, you have Sunday services, various services in the ministries, and then you have this aftercare program that I think you have even a new director for that.
Yes, Nancy Roberts is actually the director of the aftercare program itself. She is the one who brought to the table the skills necessary to give these men back on track in life. She's the one who teaches the men, who counsels the men, who is ordering the men's lives so that they can then reenter society. Dennis Daniel is the executive director.
As you mentioned, Jesse Mathis, I know he's been on the program a few different times over the years, many years ago, and also his testimony was shared during an Unshackled program, and it was a powerful one. Anyone that met Jesse, it was a life-changing experience because he was a rough, big, tough fighter. A fighter in a number of ways. He looked for fights when he went to the bars, and people know his story and his transformational story on how when God got a hold of his heart, just the complete turnaround, and just his passion for the men that were incarcerated, his passion for sharing the good news message of Jesus, his passion for introducing people to that concept that God loves them, that God can transform their lives no matter what background, no matter what sin, no matter what heartache or life experience, that Jesus could make a difference. And he lived it out, and he's now with the Lord, experiencing that glory. But I know that you've been involved for many years. And what was your first, if you will, baby steps towards getting involved in prison ministry? Because you're a lawyer, you're very busy, you've got a lot of demands, you've raised your children with wonderful Catherine, and you'll probably want to do a shout out for her, because Husbandry 101 would say, make sure you say something nice about your wife. But you're a busy man, you're involved in the community. What was the passion behind having you starting to get involved in Jesus is the Way prison ministry?
Well, that started about 18 or 19 years ago, and it simply was a response to Jesse calling and saying, I'm looking for a board member to replace somebody who's been a lawyer and has been providing some legal expertise to the ministry. Are you interested? And I said, absolutely. And Jesse had his offices in the north part of Champaign. He hadn't even moved to downtown at that point in time. But so my relationship with him spans a long time. Got more heavily involved when he started looking at providing the aftercare. Jesse loved to preach to the men in prisons, but he saw preaching to the men in prisons, leading them to a relationship with Jesus, is like bringing a child into the world. Mm-hmm. You don't bring a child into the world and then just drop them and say you're on your own. He desperately saw that these men needed a place to launch from. And that's why he was so thankful when this junior inn opened up in Rantoul and became the Jesus Inn. And I became more involved on a day-to-day basis with the men who were up at the ministry that time because they needed mentoring. And some of my volunteer work involved mentoring the men on a one-on-one basis at that point in time. And it's kind of grown from then. And my bride of 37 years, Catherine, has been with me every step of the way because it's been a growing process in understanding the men, understanding their needs, trying to help them. She has been extraordinarily supportive of me every step of the way, encouraging me to do whatever the Lord asks of us in this regard. She's been 100% supportive of me every step of the way.
Well, I've gotten to know both of you over the years. I love your marriage. I love how you model Christ to the world, to other couples, to other singles. Just your love for each other. I got to know Catherine even better on the trip to Israel, and we always kid around about the tanks that we saw on the Golan Heights, and I always say, tanks, Catherine, tanks. But she's just a wonderful, spirit-filled follower of the Lord Jesus, and I've seen you grow these past so many years. But before we introduce Dennis a little more formally and hear some of his faith story, who was foundational or fundamental in your growth in knowing Jesus? Because we get a lot of listeners, they're scanning the dial, they're tuning in, they're like, this is a different kind of testimony. I've never heard anyone talk about having a relationship with God, and what's all this Jesus talk, and those prisoners, they deserve what they get. They should be punished and locked away. So I guess your chains have been broken, like the theme of the banquet of Jesus is the Way prison ministry, and we're going to talk about that because it's coming up on October 12th. But you've seen that redemptive plan worked out, but who was instrumental? Who helped you know about a God who loved you and introduced you to Jesus?
One of my wife's favorite observations is she believes that I love the ministry because while these men have been locked up in jail, we've all been locked up by the power of sin in our lives, and that Jesus Christ came to seek and to save that which was lost, the relationship with the Father. And mine started even when I was a preteen. I started reading the Bible and basically decided it was true. Unfortunately, as I grew up through my teenage years and my college years, I wanted a relationship with Jesus, but I wanted it on my terms. Mm-hmm. As I grew into my early married life, I saw that I was basically on a treadmill and my life was going nowhere without any real purpose. And I didn't think that working till I was 65 or 70 and then dying was much of a life. And about this time, close friends of ours were developing a relationship with Jesus. And a friend called me one day and said, "My Bible says, blessed is the man that walks not in the counsel of the ungodly." Are you ungodly, Bill? Mm. And as is mostly true, our wives seem to find faith first. My wife found faith, and her life dramatically changed. And through the testimony of my wife, through the relationship with friends, and through the wooing of the Holy Spirit in 1980, I gave my heart to Jesus, and it's been full throttle forward ever since then. We've been involved in our faith community ever since then. And we're excited at age 62 that we believe we even have greater enthusiasm today than we ever had before.
Now, you mentioned when you were younger, you're reading the Bible and you knew it was true. What does that mean? I mean, what do you mean it's true? I mean, isn't it just good literature or historical accounts of fables or maybe incidences that took place? I mean, what does it mean that it's true?
I believe that there's an absolute truth in the universe, and it starts with the Lord God, and He wants us to have relationship with Him, and so He describes how we have relationship through His Word. And I accepted at an early age that this Word was true. The problem was I wasn't willing to lay down myself to accept the truth, but there is an absolute truth, and it's expressed in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ.
And talk about God's character, because I think a stumbling block for maybe somebody that's tuning in, somebody that's scanning the dial, somebody that's like, I've never heard these kind of conversations before about a personal God that loves us, that has a book, the Bible, the scriptures that have the account of the beginning of man, the redemptive plan, all these ways that you can get to know God in personal ways, how prayers can be answered. And so I think when we come to the point that we realize God's character, that He's a good God, that He's a caring God, that He's a God that wants to be involved, that He's full of grace and full of mercy, we can be drawn to Him. But I think many times people will project onto God that He's a rule keeper. He's just waiting for us to misstep so He can punish us. And so I think for that person that's maybe scanning the dial, that's kind of maybe captivated, or they're still with us, they're thinking, what do you mean a personal relationship with God? How can that be?
Well, the Lord is a Father, and He reveals Himself as Father, and He wants to have a relationship with His children. Mm-hmm. In fact, in each one of our hearts, there's a vacuum that only He can fill. And we become complete as individuals as we reach out to Him, accepting the sacrifice that He provided in the death of His Son, Jesus, that we can have that personal relationship, and so that we can live this life the way He intended.
Well, Dennis, you're sitting very patiently, and I appreciate you coming. And I know we may have needed to have you introduced first, because I know you're allergic to cats, and we have two cats in the home studio here. And so hopefully your eyes won't swell up too much.
Well, we hope it'll last.
You'll keep your voice with us for the next 15 or so minutes. But you're involved in Jesus is the Way Prison Ministry. You're the executive director. You've been volunteering for some months, and it seems like God has put a special, unique calling on your life. So tell us a little about the calling, and then I also would like you to take us back into some of your faith journey.
Okay. In January, on a Sunday night, Bill Scott called me and said, "Could you come help out at the ministry?" I said, "Sure, I'll be there. Be there in the morning." And I was there, and I've been there since then. Sometime in April, they thought we would make this a more formal relationship, so that's when I became the executive director. That's really the metamorphosis. Years ago, I have counseled or taught some of the counseling concepts in, it's called corrective thinking or rational Christian thinking, classes like that to the guys. And then early on, the 80s, early 80s, I got to know Jesse. There's about a three-week period in which Jesse and I kind of hung around together. We talked, we went out to eat, we did a lot of things. And then I would just periodically appear on the scene and then leave again. So that's really the metamorphosis of becoming involved until what we're doing now and continuing to develop and improve the direction of the ministry in the direction I think it should go.
So really, since just this past January, the specific call from Bill, who's the chairman of the board of Jesus is the Way Prison Ministries, it's like God started saying, okay, we're going to up the ante, if you will. We want you a little more involved. And then what was that process? Were you praying about it? Were you saying, Lord, I have this extra time. You've been counseling for a number of years. Mm-hmm. And I think also in the school district, you were a counselor?
I was a counselor. counselor in a school district called North Chicago, Hoopston, Rantoul, several school districts, and I've had a private practice out of a church for almost 27 years. I can't calculate real quickly right now, but a long time. But that's really where I started and what I've done, and it's what I love, and I'm still doing it through our church. But when I came into the ministry, it just broadened my view of life so much more. A lot more responsibilities, and now I'm telling people direction rather than taking direction. Mm-hmm. Although a counselor is usually a fairly independent kind of job.
Now, Bill, back in January, as you were sitting on the board of Jesus is the Way Prison Ministry and praying up transitional times and how God would lead the ministry and provide other people, I know at the time Dennis came to mind because you had been friends for many years. You had seen his character. You had known his heart for people, his heart for evangelism, his heart for training people. And so take us through some of that process. I mean, it came to your mind. You were obviously praying up, you know, we need an executive director. What were the next steps that you took, you and your board?
Well, we were looking for somebody to come in and provide some administrative oversight to the ministry. And it's amazing how God directs our steps, because I had come to know Dennis in 1980, 81. So we'd known each other for 31 years, but his having worked outside the community for a long time, we weren't as close as we had been. But as it turns out, he was retiring from a position, and so he had time available. And he is, if anything, a steadying, calming influence. And we needed a steadying, calm influence. And I was looking for somebody whose heart I could trust and whose character I could trust. And without question, I had in Dennis Daniel a person whose heart and character I could trust.
Hmm. Well, Dennis, I know I'm looking at the clock, and I'm looking at we still want to make some announcements about your upcoming banquet, and you have a volunteer day following the banquet the next day on October 13th. So how about giving us some of the who, what, when, why, where's of the banquet? Why is it being held? What do you hope to accomplish? And then maybe on tomorrow's edition of Mark and Friends, we can hear a little more of your faith journey, how God was at work in your life years ago, and how you came to have that personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. So tell us about the banquet.
On October 12th, Friday night, we are having our annual fundraising banquet. It's been something that's been going on for years and years and years. We are holding it in the Holiday Inn. We've made some changes this year. It's going to be exciting. I'm starting to look forward to it more and more. When you start planning this, enthusiasm builds. And I'm starting to feel the enthusiasm build in me. One of the greatest things is the staff that I have, our secretaries and director of aftercare and other people, board members. Everybody's starting to get on board, and we are working more this year. Well, shouldn't say more this year, but we are working a lot this year on trying to provide something that is just going to be very dynamic. And it will be different than the past. The next day, we are having a staff training at Christian Life Church in Rantoul in regards to the training of volunteers. And the person, Dr. Karen, who is speaking at the banquet, is also going to be providing the seminar the next day. And the seminar the next day is for volunteers and people who would want to become volunteers. She's involved, if I can recall, with Prison Ministries. People will recognize that with the late Chuck Colson. That's the organization he started. And she is the Wheaton Campus Director of Prison Ministries. So I think it's going to be very good. Bill has really done a phenomenal job. He took over Who Could We Get, and he found this person. And I think it's just going to be a real blessing, and she is obviously very knowledgeable, but I believe she'll be inspiring and get us to see where we are headed, how we want to get somewhere, the important things in life, how to bring them out of people and get them started on a journey, a path that their life will become productive, both spiritually as well as in the normal realm. Just to reiterate, the banquet is October 12th, Holiday Inn, and for more information, call this number, area code 217-892-4044. 217-892-4044. We'd like you to call now, if possible, but no later than the 3rd or 4th of October so we can get our numbers correct and clear.
Well, I just know from all the banquets that I've attended, hearing the testimony from some of the people that are being served through Jesus as a Way Prison Ministry, it, being introduced to some of the staff, just hearing some of the stories and the ways God has led the ministry and the work that you have done and the healing and the transformational power that has gone on in these men's lives is always a great encouragement. So if you're available on that Friday night, October 12th, call Jesus is Away Prison Ministry. Make sure you give them plenty of time to prepare that great meal for you and to make arrangements. Once again, that's coming on October 12th. That's a Friday night. It's from 6 to 8 p.m. at the Holiday Inn Conference Center, 1001 Killarney Street in Urbana, Illinois. For more information, call 217-892-4044. That's 217-892-4044. Or you can stop by Jesus is the Way Prison Ministry at jesusistheWayPrisonMinistries.org. That's jesusistheWayPrisonMinistries.org. Well, let me close out with the passage that we began this program with, reading from Matthew chapter 25, beginning at verse 34. Then the king will say to those on his right, "Come, you who are blessed by my Father, take your inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you invited me in. I needed clothes, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you looked after me. I was in prison, and you came to visit me." Then the righteous will answer him, "Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you something to drink? When did we see you a stranger and invite you in, or needing clothes and clothe you? When did we see you sick or in prison and go to visit you?" The king will reply, "I tell you the truth, whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers of mine, you did for me." Dear listener, this is a good word for us all. We can be those hands, those feet, that voice of the Lord Jesus Christ, extending God's love to a hurting world. Jesus is the Way Prison Ministry is doing a needed work in our area, and you can participate, you can get involved, you can be a difference maker. Well, thank you, Dennis. Thank you, Bill, for being a part of today's edition of Mark and Friends. We're going to have you back tomorrow on the Tuesday edition of Mark and Friends. Thanks for coming into the studio, and we'll keep the cats out of the studio this time, so that way hopefully your allergies won't act up, Dennis.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Well, thanks for listening, everyone. Thanks for being a part of this radio listening family. This is Mark Burns with the Ministry of Great News Radio. God bless you, and have a great day and night.